Hello, it's Simon Clough here. This is the Green Jumper podcast with Marcus Alton.
Yes, welcome along to this Green Jumper gem. And it was a huge pleasure to chat to European Cup legend Ian Bowyer. Now, after Ian's crucial goal for Nottingham Forest against Cologne in the second leg of the European Cup semi-final, Brian Clough said Bowyer was worth £1 million. So I asked him, did he get a pay rise after the game?
He said after the match, that goal is worth millions of pounds to this club. And that will be reflected in the next pay rise you come in for. Well, I'm still waiting for that pay rise. So, yeah.
You had scored, hadn't you, in the first leg, that 3-3 battle?
The 3-3 battle at the City Ground was probably the most exciting football match I've ever taken part in. We were 2-0 down. We get 3-2 up, including a John Robertson header and an Ian Bowyer right footer.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese boy, Okadira, comes on and scores an equaliser for Cologne. And, you know, the next day's headline is Jap sub sinks Forest. But we were never of that opinion. We thought we'd go there and put up a really good show, despite what all the media were going to say. And, we were going along and we were doing okay. And then I think it was about the 69th minute. Yeah. We got a corner and John Robertson chipped the ball to the near post. Gary Birtles flicked it on and I got my head to it and put it in the net. And we survived the last 20 minutes. Peter Shilton made a great save right near the end. And we were in the final, which was fantastic. You know, here we are, 2 years after being promoted, we've won the league and now we're in the European Cup final. Incredible.
Obviously, Cluffy at the time had said, I hope anybody's not stupid enough to write us off. Was that the message that he was telling you?
Absolutely, that was the message. But I don't think we needed telling that much because we were a decent team. We didn't defend particularly well on the night. We had one or two lads that had come back into the team for the second leg. So we thought we were stronger team than the first leg. And, we managed to defy all the media.
I was looking. In the 1979 Nottingham Forest annual, you're described as Mr. Versatility because of the different positions you played on the field, really. Was that a label you were happy with?
Well, that just meant I could play badly anywhere. it was the kind of label that you want and you don't want at the same time. It's nice to be considered to be able to play a position and to do that well. And midfield was my position. I did play my versatility. I played, can you believe it, right back, left back.
Yeah.
I think the only positions I didn't play, I did have a couple of emergency spells in gold. I think the only positions I didn't play were centre-backs. I never played centre-back.
Right.
You had to be 6'3", or look like Kenny Burns to play a centre-half.
Yeah. With your stamina, getting around the park was really no problem. So I guess centre-back wasn't really a position made for you. But I was looking in the records and over an eight-day period in March 78, you deputised for Viv Anderson at right-back at West Brom.
Yeah.
On the Tuesday, you were centre-forward against Leicester because Peter With was suspended. And then the following Saturday, you played midfield against Liverpool in the League Cup final of all matches. That must have been quite a week.
Well, It didn't mean that much to me to be playing in different positions. I mean, we used to talk at the time, and I always remember we had a dear old trainer called Jimmy Gordon, and he used to say, if you're a footballer, you're a footballer, and you can play different positions. And I like to think that I could do that. But yeah, it was a busy week.
Yeah. How did it go in goal? Because you did, as you say, you did have a spell, I think, when John Middleton got injured and you had to go in goal.
I played in goal twice. The first time was away at Oxford United in the second division that was. And John Middleton got injured and I went in goals. And I can remember we actually won the game 1-0. Emphasis on the nil.
Yes. He kept a clean sheet.
Yes. I think I did punch one or two of our defenders when crosses came into the box, but, you know, yeah. I was new to the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Part of the learning. And then the second time, I think we went to Leicester. It would be round about 85-ish, maybe 86. And either Leicester or us, we were 1-2 in the first division. I think it was Vanbrugh or was it Sutton? Steve Sutton got injured.
Yep.
And I went in goals. We lost that one. I think we lost 4-2. And my memory is Gary McAllister, who was playing for Leicester. Leicester got a penalty, and he took it the first time. And I saved it.
Oh.
And the referee let him take it again. Oh. Said I moved.
Wow. Had you done your homework on him?
Oh, yes, I'd have been up all night. the second time he took it, I saved it again. But it rebounded out to Gary McAllister, and he put the ball, me and everything, in the back of the net. So
typical.
Yeah. So twice I played in goals. Yeah. And I didn't particularly enjoy it.
No.
You see the game from a different viewpoint altogether.
Yeah. You can see what Peter Shilton had to put up with and why he was so good, really.
Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to relaxation for the players, Cluffy was well known for taking you away for maybe a sunshine break somewhere, a bit of sun on your back. How important was that for you and the team?
Well, I think it's common knowledge now that the top athletes, the Olympic athletes, they go away and do warm weather training, and there has to be something in it. Perhaps we were ahead of the game in terms of understanding that. We used to not get knocked about on the training ground. We used to save most of our energies for the game, and he was an absolute master at preparing you for games. It's all those old story, isn't it? Once the glass is empty, you've no more to give, then, you know, you are far better to save a little bit. And we saved from game to game, and we didn't get hammered at the training ground. We saved our strength and our energies for the big games.
In fact, I think he used to tell players off if they trained too much, didn't he?
Yeah, I can remember him telling Frank Clark off if Frank had been training. Yeah.
Now, while we're talking about breaks away, I've got a picture here of the team 1980. Okay. And there you are with the rest of the team on the sand dunes in Jersey before the League Cup final.
Yeah, against Wolves.
Do you remember that?
I do. It was the longest trip ever. It was a drag. It was, honestly, it was probably, because of the result that followed, it became the worst trip ever. But I can remember it distinctly because it was the week that Cheltenham races were on. And footballers being footballers, we want to sit in front of the television and watch Cheltenham races. Well, there were Peter and Brian. We ended up going here, there and everywhere. We were proper tourists. But, yeah, we didn't enjoy it too much. I think that's fair to say. Yeah.
And you were even, there's even pictures of you like doing exercises on the beach as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was really unusual, surely.
Well, we improvised, you know. If we there is a story, obviously, of the 1980 pre-match training for the 1980 European Cup final in Madrid, and Peter Shilton needing to do some goalkeeping work and ended up doing it on a roundabout. Not, I have to say, not a very busy roundabout,
no,
but roundabout nonetheless.
Yeah, it was just one of those eccentricities you just had to get used to, I guess.
Yeah.
But it worked most of the time.
It worked most of the time, but not on this particular occasion.
No, because you lost the League Cup final the following Saturday.
In a strange manner, we did, yes. Yeah.
Less than a year after all the European success, you were transferred to Sunderland in January 81. And I've got a copy of Shoot magazine from February 81, in which a fan has a letter on the letters page about you. It's headlined Forest Boob, with a picture of you just above it there. And the letter...
Needless to say, I wasn't the Forest
you
Boob.
You weren't the Forest Boob.
That's all right, just letting you...
Well, I'll clarify I'll clarify that now. You were far from the Forest Boob, because the letter says, I think Clough and Taylor have made a very bad mistake in selling Ian Bowyer. If it hadn't been for Ian's experienced and talented play, Forrest wouldn't have had so much success. And the author of that letter is me.
Marcus Alton, Loudon. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And all these years, I've always wanted to show you this.
Oh, great.
And I got it published in Shoot magazine. What do you think to that?
Fantastic, fantastic. No, it's just a. I think at the time we'd been knocked out of the cup, the European Cup, by the Bulgarian team Sofia, and so the club had a kind of a rethink. Many of us in the team were getting older, and we were getting older together. So in no time at all, we lost the likes of Larry. John McGovern, I think, went to Bolton. Of course, obviously, Frank had gone. So I was one of the ones that they could basically get a fee for. The club needed the money, and it suited both parties. I wasn't just going to Sunderland. I was going to Sunderland, who at the time... The assistant manager was Frank Clark.
Ah.
So that was my connection in going to Sunderland.
Yes.
But
the letter goes on to say, I don't think Bowyer will settle down and perform as well with Sunderland as he did at Forest. And of course, a year later, you were back. What happened there?
My time at Sunderland, I think I'm right in saying I played 13 games. And I got injured. I got the really, really, the only, if you like, seriously injury I had in my whole career. I ruptured a medial ligament in my right knee, and I was out for about at least 4 or 5 months. So I didn't play that much. And then whilst I was in hospital, Frank Clark and the manager, Ken Knighton, they were dismissed. So it didn't take me long to get rid of Frank. And Alan Durbin came in, and I didn't particularly get on with Alan.
But, of course, you returned to Forest.
Yes, I did.
You had some wonderful days. And as an experienced player, helping to bring on some of the youngsters, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, results, we did okay. My second time then, we did well enough. We got into the semi-final of the UEFA Cup, which... rightly or wrongly, we lost. But there was also, for me, the satisfaction out of watching so many young players come through. You know, I could go through them all, you know, from...
You were there with Pearce and...
I was there with Stuart Pearce and Ian Butterworth came at the same time. You could talk about Chris Fairclough, Des Walker, Stephen Hodges, Peter Davenport, Nigel Clough, loads of them.
What was it like playing with Nigel, being the son of the manager?
Well, Nigel was great. He was a really talented footballer, and I think it's fair to say he didn't enjoy running that much. So I was always thinking that our pre-season used to exist of miles and miles round Woolerton Park, uphills and down dales and all the rest of it. And I have a feeling that once Nigel came, we didn't do so much of that. But we played more games. We played more friendly games, more games. So it became more match-related as opposed to Wollaton Park-related.
Yeah, good.
But no, a terrific player.
Yeah,
And could score goals for fun,
Well, eventually, at your testimonial, I've got a picture here from the Nottingham Post with Cluffy giving you a kiss on the cheek there. Yeah. When you look at that and you think of all those times with Brian, what's your sort of favourite memory of him?
I think my favourite memory of him is his humour. You know, forget the football, which he was fantastic at, but he could be very, very funny. He was just a treat.
And as you can tell, it was also a real treat to chat to Ian Bowyer. I really enjoyed our conversation, and you can hear the whole interview by scrolling through the Green Jumper archive. The full conversation is episode 68. Thanks very much for taking the time to listen, and if you're enjoying the podcasts, please take a moment to leave a 5-star review. It makes it all worthwhile. We've got thousands of listeners around the world, and I'm really glad that you're one of them. I hope you can join me again next time for more memories of the great man in the green jumper.